Oh, this is a quinceañera song for Sophie. That's so nice.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's it. You That's all you get from me, Mace. That's it.
You guys want to come over for
the No, concert? We're good. That's all you get, man. Just
that
song.
Party. Ridiculous.
Okay, so Kanye West was at a fancy restaurant in San Francisco, and he gave a fake name for his reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's apparently the name of a famous chef named Rene Redzepi. Rene Redzepi was his fake name, which is a weird name, even if it's a real name. So, John, when you check into a hotel as voice of the Lakers, do you use a fake name?
I do not, but, you know, most of the Laker players do.
I get that.
Because they don't, like Kobe, he always used to check in under the name of Walter Elias. Walter Elias was his grandfather. So, anybody anybody who knew Kobe and knew him well, or if you were, you know, and you needed him, you would just
like a tribute.
Call and ask for Walter Elias. Shaq would log in under the name of Enrico Gates.
I love that.
Which was, he was getting paid top dollar endorsement money from Pepsi and from Microsoft, and the chairman of Pepsi was Roger Enrico, and the chairman of Microsoft was Bill Gates. So if you looked at the, like when you check in to with a team to a hotel, you get a room list.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you'll look at the list and you'll go, well, wait, where are all the star players? They're never on there because they're all using an alias. Because those, what happens, Mace, is those room lists get leaked. Like somebody leaks the room list and then it gets in the hands of the wrong person. And then they just call the hotel and like, ask for Kobe or ask for Shaq, and you know,
right? Sure.
So they all use fake names. So what you want to do if you're if you're staying at a hotel, and you want to use a fake name, keep in mind that you know, you may run up charges, you may empty the mini bar, you may charge movies that you don't want people to know that you actually charge.
Although that's really weak porn on those hotel room porn.
Especially now because you can
especially
just
now,
use a computer. But so in the future, because I don't want to be tied to any, shall we say, sketchy activity, I will use the name Chris Morales.
That is awesome.
If you're There's looking no for me in a hotel, call and ask for Chris Morales.
There's no sketchier person than Chris.
Yeah, because anything that could happen in a hotel room, Morales is probably actually done.
Yeah, I would put nothing by him. Nothing by him. Linz, what about you? Fake name. You need a fake name. What do you go with?
Trying to think. I'd probably use something weird like Violet Beauregard.
That's good.
Yeah, no, that's
people
good.
That know that you love Willy Wonka.
Yeah.
And know that Veruca Salt's a band, so you can't use
That's
her.
What I was going to say.
And the only other girl is Violet Beauregard. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Jorge, what do you got?
I never thought about this, actually. So, I don't
That's
know.
That's good. It means you've never robbed a bank or been accused of any federal crime.
Had to hide.
So, Jorge, what you could do is go with, like, do what Kobe did. Go with your mom's dad's name. What was your mom's dad's name?
My mom's name is Yolanda.
Okay, no, but what was her dad's name?
Oh, her dad's name is Leo.
So Leo and then whatever your mom's maiden name is.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a good one. You know, people don't know this, but I almost used a different name than Steve Mason. It came down.
So people don't know, your real name is Steve Mashonsky.
Steve Mashonsky,
and unlike many, many, many people in the media, including at least one person at every local television station, you are not ashamed nor afraid to talk about your real name.
No, but not at all.
At all those stations, most of those people are.
Yeah, so it came down to, I was starting out on radio, it came down to two names. There was Steve Mason, and there was Sean Sky.
That sounds like a fake radio name.
Sky, sound like...
That sounds like a porn star's name.
Sean Sky.
It could be a porn star.
Well, because Mashonsky, if you sound it out, goes Sean Sky. So that was almost my radio name, I decided. But that would be a good fake name. My grandfather's name would be a good name. Gene Santacross.
Yeah.
Gene Santacross would be a very good fake name. Very good fake name. So I have a goal this weekend, John. Big goal.
Well, you know that most celebrities, like I would say probably 50% of them have changed their names. Because some agent gets a hold of them at a young age, and which is probably what happened to you. Somebody probably said to you, "Yeah, Mashonsky really isn't going to fly.
Right.
We need a more easy to pronounce name." And so that's what happens. I mean, they get a hold of you and
they tell you that name doesn't fly. If I came along today, I think I would keep the real name.
Right.
I don't think I'd use the fake name. Let's go to Tom calling from somewhere on line 2. 710 ESPN. What are you doing, Tom?
Hey, I'm working right now, actually. To be honest with you, Steve, I am delivering weed professionally. So
nice.
That's my job, driving around all day with you guys.
I'm a big Ease user. Are you with Ease?
Are you talking about vape?
No. Do you deliver for Ease, that company?
Oh, no, that's not the company. I probably shouldn't say who I deliver for anyway.
Yeah,
but it's a big one.
Go to it. It's
super
cool.
Big. So I've got a topic for you because it came up a couple days ago or either that or yesterday. You guys have brought up the cheating thing. What about the 16-year-old son or daughter that sees dad or mom making out on the sly? Not at the house maybe, but, you know, somewhere, somehow. I mean, how do you handle that dilemma? Because my answer for the friend is you go right to the offender and go, you're blowing it, stop it. Knock it off. I'm stepping out. You know, as long as it's a true friend.
Right.
Right.
How do you handle
The problem with that is if you go to your friend, it may end the friendship. You know that, right?
Like, care. That's not my friend if they're a cheater. If his wife can't trust him, I don't trust him.
Nice. I totally get that as a perspective. Now, the question of your 16-year-old kid seeing you, that's the I saw mommy kissing Santa Claus situation. That's a tough one. If you're a parent and your kid catches you, that's got to be scarring for the rest of your life,
I think if you the proper parental decision is to talk to him. You can't just let that hang over their head.
No,
you've
got to
have
a
conversation with them.
Yeah.
I just got a text. Little do you guys know, my name is really George Sanders. And Lindsay, who do you think that's from?
George Sedano.
Right.
No.
Well, Mason.
Chris Morales.
No, Mason. Sedano texted it to you too. Of course.
Oh,
you
did
know.
He? No, I didn't. I didn't look my text. Is it George Sedano?
Yeah. His real name is George Sanders.
So he's pranking about all this. I'm from Cuba situation.
I think he's making up George Sanders. But
yeah,
you know,
I do.
That's
too.
Why. That's why people in TV news, and this is a real thing. A lot of guys in TV news will change their name to a Spanish surname. Because it improves their chances of getting hired.
Right, right.
You know, because they, you know, FCC regulations say you have to have certain representation.
Yeah, and every newscast is kind of like the United Nations.
Right. So if your mom, particularly if your mom's maiden name is Hispanic sounding.
Yeah.
Or if it's, you know, it sounds like a minority name, a lot of guys will take that name just so they can move up.
Right, right. So this name and likeness thing, how much did you do on this yesterday, the name and likeness thing?
A little bit. I think I'm happy about it. I think it's great.
Are you ready to spend $500?
On what?
Okay. Here's my idea. So who is the most prominent current college athlete in Los Angeles?
Keaton Slovis.
Keaton Slovis. Okay. So here's what I want to do. I want Keaton Slovis to endorse Mason and Ireland.
Love it.
And we will pay him. I'll kick in $500. You kick in $500. $1,000, and he will do like a liner for the show. What do you think?
I think it's awesome. But I'm trying to think.
How do you get to him?
Well, we just ask him. I mean, we get him on the air and interview him, and we'd say, hey, you know, what do you think? I think Keaton would hold out for more money. I would if I was him.
Well, I mean, we're not that loaded.
Right.
It's just a liner. It's only a liner. It's
so maybe he'll do it. If
yeah,
not,
here's $1,000.
If not, we'll find somebody who will take our deal.
Yeah.
Maybe
Lins,
can we figure that out? Hey, maybe we get somebody from a small sport.
No, I think we could do it.
Yeah, maybe we
Keaton
like
would be great because I think USC is going to have a good year. They a lot of people think USC if they can get through that game
and
at
by the way,
Notre
the,
Dame.
The liner has to be something like this. Hi, I'm Keaton Slovis from USC. Mason in Ireland paid me $1,000 to endorse their show. So this is me endorsing Mason in Ireland. Enjoy.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
so we got to do that.
Just putting it out there.
We got to do that. Hey, the Dodgers went to the White House today. You've been to the White House.
I have.
What's that experience
okay,
like?
Okay, so I have many Lakers at the White House stories, but here's a couple of good ones. So I walk in. And I actually had to – there's this great guy who worked for President Obama named Adam Abrams, and he's from okay. L.A.,
yeah.
and he worked in the Obama White House. And I called him. I said, hey, Adam, let me explain this. I go, I'm going to be doing live shots for Channel 2 and Channel 9, but then I want to go on the private White House tour that you guys are doing for the Laker party. And he said, believe it or not, you have to come in, do your live shots as a member of the media. I have to walk you out of the grounds, out the front gate, and bring you back in as a member of the private tour. That's how, like, by the letter they are
sure.
for security. So I do my live shots. I come back in for the private tour. And so at this point, there's only, like, the Lakers traveling party in the East Room.
Yep.
And I look up, and I watch this whole exchange. I watch President Obama walk up, extend his hands, shake hands with this woman and say, hi, I'm Barack. My kids watch your show. I wish they wouldn't.
Wow.
But they do all the time. And she said, hi, I'm Khloe. It's a pleasure to meet you. Barack Obama went out of his way to meet Khloe Kardashian. It was the most surreal thing I think I've ever.
Wow.
First of all, how cool is that? Hi, I'm Barack. Yeah, I know. You know, like, you know, and by the way, Ty Now, the big digital who is working for the Lakers now, he works for the Chargers, has a picture of this exact moment. He was standing in the room and has a picture when they're shaking hands, which I thought was one of the most surreal things I've ever seen. The president of the United States walking around where all these people were, and that's who he picked to walk up to.
Now, did he shake your hand?
Very, like in a reception line. You know, just like hi, and you go, hi, great to see you. Good to have you. And just like walking down the line. By the way, one of only two times I've ever seen Michael Thompson in a tie was at the White House.
Wow. You know what I noticed today?
What?
Bill Plunkett, our friend from the Toluca Lake Times, no tie at the White House.
Well, I think Plunkett might be like you. I don't know if he owns a tie. He may have. We should ask him.
Yeah. Lindsay, did we reach out to Bill? I know he's been working hard. He's been
it's a long day for him.
He's got
you know, Max Scherzer is pitching tonight against the Dodgers.
Oh, wow. That's a matchup.
And it comes early, the Trevor Bauer story is a little big.
Yeah, the Trevor Bauer is big. But, yeah, Bill Plunkett. I don't know if I would I wear a tie? Do you think I'd wear a tie?
I did out of respect for the office.
Yeah, I think this is the one place I would wear a tie. I would not wear a mariachi jacket the way Joe Kelly did.
Okay, so can I defend Joe Kelly for a second?
Sure,
Let me give you some background.
Okay.
And you tell me if this makes it more palatable or no, under no condition can you wear a mariachi jacket to the White House.
Actually, why don't you hold that? We'll do that next.
Okay.
All right, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Okay,
yes,
so
happy birthday to America.
Mace, I just got a text from Michael Roth who thinks he's texting me and you.
Uh-huh.
But somehow in his phone, he's texting me and Juan. He's not texting me and you. He has your phone number in his phone as Juan's phone number, your partner. So he,
get out of here.
Yeah. So Juan's gonna get a bunch of messages that make no sense to him. But here's what he texted me.
Okay.
If Keaton Slovis takes the money, isn't this a bad precedent? And no athlete or celebrity will ever do free IDs again.
I disagree. We're only doing this for college kids who don't make any money.
Right. I disagree. I think it's easy money for Keaton Slovis.
Yeah. Plus, it's not like when somebody else comes on the show, they're already making money. They already have a profession.
Yeah,
Justin
Turner or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is already being paid.
Yeah. This poor Keaton Slovis kid isn't making a dime right now for leading USC to the college football playoff this year.
All right. Also from Michael Roth, by the way, Mirror audio video is fantastic. I am a very satisfied customer and they did not pay me to say that.
Very nice.
How about that?
We love Isaac and Mirror.
You made fun of Joe Kelly for wearing a mariachi jacket to the White House.
Maybe he deserves that decision.
Yeah, maybe he deserves that. But I'm going to give you the background and I think it may change your perspective.
Okay.
Okay. So on Sunday, the Dodgers had an event at Dodger Stadium. They do it all the time. It's called Viva Los Dodgers. It's a joyous celebration that they do every year at the stadium.
I think Kenley brought out a mariachi band to the bullpen. There was a lot of fun.
So that guy, Kenley Jansen, set up the musical guest. His name was Mariachi Garibaldi. He was the musical guest. So Joe Kelly walked up to him when he was out performing in the field on Sunday and said, "Hey, if I give you my jersey, will you give me your jacket?" Mm. And Garibaldi said, "Absolutely." So they traded. Kelly gave the jersey to Garibaldi, and Garibaldi gave him the jacket. So, you know, the Dodgers represent more Hispanic fans than any team in all of baseball. So I think what Kelly was thinking was, hey, this would be a nice way to honor Garibaldi and all of our Hispanic fans. And he wore the mariachi jacket to the White House today. Does that change your opinion of his decision to wear the mariachi jacket?
So on one level, I love it, right? I love the goofiness. Joe Kelly, really unusual guy, always having fun, always doing interesting stuff. On the other hand, I'm like, if I'm Joe Biden and I'm meeting the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, and some guy walks in wearing a mariachi jacket.
Right.
I'm looking twice. I'm like, are these guys even taking this seriously, being at the White House, the seat of democracy in America?
And by the way, many of the Dodgers, I would say, I'm looking at this picture now, I would say more than half did not wear ties.
I know.
And like, I'm looking, Will Smith didn't wear a tie. Dave Roberts did. By the way, Joe Kelly has like an open shirt all the way, like unbuttoned down to his navel, and he's the only guy in the whole White House that's wearing a mask. Joe Kelly is just weird. But I kind of like the mariachi jacket.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine, you know, a team going to the White House. Did you see Mookie? Mookie's wearing like this green suit.
Did he say why?
Which I think is odd. No, yeah. He didn't say why. It's very.
He's been before. He's probably been with the Red Sox. Although, the year the Red Sox won it, I think Donald Trump was president, and most teams did not go when President Trump was there. So maybe this was Mookie's first time. I'm not sure.
So I've met two presidents, John. Two presidents. Okay. How many? You met
Barack Obama. I've met three. I've met Barack Obama, the first George Bush.
Yeah.
George H.W. Bush.
Herbert Walker Bush, yeah.
And I met Bill Clinton on a live shot once.
Yeah.
So those are my three.
I met Reagan, and Reagan was – I was selected from all the kids at Bowling Green State University. And I was a member – boy, talk about a lifetime ago. I was the president of the Young Republicans at Bowling Green State University.
No kidding. Wow. How your life has evolved.
It really has changed. Yeah. So they selected me. The Secret Service cleared me, and they selected me to introduce the president at Bowling Green State University. This is when he was campaigning in 1984 against Walter Mondale.
So for his second term, right? And that'd be his first term, right?
And this is when everybody wondered, oh, is he shaky? Is he okay? Is he, you know, there was like that whole issue. And I not only introduced him, but then I moderated a Q&A with the students and the president. And so I would say, here's Tom from Delta, Ohio. Tom has a question for you, Mr. President. And he'd go up and he'd read his question. So then the Secret Service people, after about 20 minutes, get in my ear and they say, hey, let the president know this will be the last question. And so I said to said into the microphone, I said, Mr. President, this will be the last question. And he said, huh? What? And I said, Mr. President, this will be the last question. Yeah?
Oh, no.
And I said, Mr. President, I said this will be the last question. I was like a smartass with the leader of the free world. Now, afterwards, I did meet him, and he didn't remember that I smartassed him. And he could not have been nicer. In fact, he said, you know, I think you've got a future in this. And I was like, that is really, really nice from the president. The other one, Bill Clinton, I was at a party, and Bill Clinton was there. And I went there with a friend, a girlfriend, named Elise. Mm-hmm. And Elise, very attractive girl. Bill Clinton surveying the room, came over and started talking to Elise. And I'm like, geez, I just met President Clinton, and he really likes Elise. He was drawn. Right. And Elise was, like, magnetized by him. She was like, oh, my, he's so charismatic. Ultimately, you know, obviously nothing happened. I shouldn't say obviously, but in this case, nothing happened. Elise was thrilled by that exchange.
Well, you know, they say that the one thing that Bill Clinton and Barack Obama had in common is that they are great in a room, in that they make you feel like you're the only person in the room when they're talking to you. Like they're totally engaged with you while you're talking to them, and then they just move on to the next person.
Well, believe me, Elise was definitely the only person in the room at that party. She absolutely was. Weird White House story. I noticed this, and it's interesting. President Trump, when he was in the White House, never took the stairs.
Right.
Never. Always took like
now.
An elevator.
How do you handle that? If you have the choice between elevator and stairs, do you just wing it, or do you always do one or the other?
I always go stairs when they're possible, because I always think, here's a little bit of exercise.
Me too. By the way, you know, when we used to park in the you may still. I don't know if they've moved you over to the other garage yet, but we used to park in a garage pretty far away from our studios, and I would park as far away from the stairs and the elevator as I could. You know, most people look for a spot right
close
next to it. I would park just because I figured I could get a little more exercise, and I would always walk up the ramp. I would never take the elevator.
Right.
Cary Grant, the actor, said that's how he exercised. Everywhere he went, he never, ever took an elevator. He always took the stairs.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, I do the same thing. I park in the last row at the grocery store. So when I go to the grocery, I at least get a little walk in. I have my Apple Watch, and I keep track of my steps. And when I hit 10,000, I'm super excited, but it doesn't happen very often. Do you keep track of your steps?
Never. I've been to some people have a pedometer, and you can put one on your iPhone if you want to.
Fitbit or Apple Watch. It helps me keep track of exactly, you know, how active, how moving I am. Hori or Lindsay, do you guys have an Apple Watch or a Fitbit?
I don't.
I do.
No. Do you?
Yeah.
So, like, what's your average amount of steps?
Oh, I don't check the steps. I usually do like a run and then like a HIIT exercise, like the high intensity, you know, workout. So I burn at least like 2,000 calories a day.
Are you still out jogging? Do you jog?
I run every day. Yeah.
I see people running. Running was like such a big deal in the 80s. Now it seems weird when you see a jogger, when you see a runner, isn't it?
In Manhattan Beach, they're all over the place.
Yeah, are they all over the place?
Yeah, yeah, man.
I always think I ran cross country in high school, and you know, when I was running cross country, I hated it. I absolutely hated it. Every single day I hated it. And I finished, and, you know, on all that stuff, I went through the entire program and lettered and whatnot. But when I finished cross country, I never ran again. I have never jogged or run since the very last cross country meet of my high school. Yeah. Hated it. Just hated it. I'll do cardio now. I'll do bike and stuff like that. But I will never, ever run again because I hated it when I was running cross country. It's golf. Hated golf.
Still hate golf. Did you see what the Heisman Trust said about Reggie Bush today?
No, I didn't.
All right, let's do that next.
Okay, cool. That's coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
People on Twitter trying to figure out the lie of the day. I won't say if it's happened or not yet, but we'll do it at the end of the show. So, did you see? Okay, Jorge told me how many steps he averages on his Fitbit. Jorge, go ahead.
Between 12 and 14,000.
Come on.
So, Sedano just sent me his steps. 12,800 so far today.
What is he doing?
I think he's walking a lot.
How do people get all these steps?
We go out, man, and walk.
They leave the home.
We don't get stuff delivered. We don't.
George actually sent his actual, like, Fitbit totals.
Mason, I was going to say, you actively admit and almost, like, even champion for the idea of, like, staying home and doing nothing.
I am. That is my goal every day, is to stay home and do nothing. No, I got to start walking more. I got to get to 10,000 steps a day, at least 10,000. Like, that's the magic number. If you get to 10,000, you're working pretty hard. Today is not the day because I went over to see Dr. Grant Stevens at Marina Plastic Surgery. He's going to start advertising again. So I tried out the Cool Sculpting and this new thing called the Cool Tone. So today I just let that relax. Let that settle. I'll start walking tomorrow, which is something, by the way, I said yesterday. I'll start walking tomorrow. Tomorrow it'll happen.
Right. And this is a holiday weekend, so we'll just punt this into next week.
Yes, punt it. Yeah. I'm going to punt. I got to continue it.
By the way, speaking of punting, listen to what the Heisman Trust did today. So while you were gone yesterday, Reggie Bush came out and said that over the past few months, many times, he and his team have reached out to both the NCAA and the Heisman Trust to try and get his Heisman reinstated and his college records reinstated, especially in light of the fact that athletes can now monetize their image, name, and likeness. You know, Reggie Bush would have probably made more money as a college athlete than almost anybody. He's one of the most exciting college players of all time.
Yeah.
He says they left multiple messages for the president of the Heisman Trust. The guy wouldn't call him back. One of the assistants called him and said, "We can't help you." He got no response at all from the NCAA. Reggie says, "It's my strong belief that I won the Heisman Trophy solely due to my hard work and dedication on the football field, and it's also my firm belief that my record should be reinstated." So people have been pointing out that the NCAA really never goes back on any punishment they've ever given. They'll never admit a mistake. If you listen to this show, you know, I think the NCAA are a bunch of boobs. I think they're the Keystone Cops. They can't get out of their own way. I think the NCAA should be disbanded. I just think that almost every single time when they get faced with a decision, they get it wrong.
Yeah.
Almost every single time. So I had hope because the Heisman Trust is a private entity. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
They don't need the NCAA to give Reggie Bush his Heisman back. They can just say, okay, we've looked at the landscape. Here's Reggie's Heisman. We're sending it back to him. So today, the head of the Heisman Trust came out and said, should the NCAA reinstate Bush's 2005 status?
Oh, so they're putting the onus on the NCAA.
The Heisman Trust looks forward to welcoming him back into the Heisman family. But they know. The Heisman Trust knows the NCAA never gets it right. So they literally punted this back into the court of the NCAA, which is like literally handing it something to the Three Stooges. This is going to end up with egg on everybody's face.
Okay, so you always think I'm naive when I talk about Reggie Bush.
Yeah, I know it.
Okay.
Oh, so, I thought you were going to say when you talk about the NCAA, you think the NCAA
is No, Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
So his stepdad got a $2,000 a month house in North County,
San Diego. Yeah.
Right. And I have always argued that what does that have to do with Reggie Bush? Why does that affect Reggie Bush that his dad got a house in, or stepdad got a house in San Diego? I think it's possible Reggie didn't even know his dad got a free house in San Diego. From what? What's that guy, Lloyd?
Wait a minute. What? Reggie Bush's parents get a free house in San Diego.
Whoa. Okay, stop with free house. Stop with, have you seen the house?
I have not.
It is not a palace. It is absolutely nothing special. It rented for $2,000 a month. They had somebody paying their rent for a year and a half.
So how's that different from getting a free house?
Why is Reggie aware of that? Why does he have to be aware of that? Isn't it possible
when Reggie goes home for Thanksgiving or Christmas, what house is he going to?
Well, he's going to the house. He doesn't know somebody else is paying for it, right?
Of course he knows.
No, I don't think he necessarily.
You're not going to say at some point, "Hey, Dad, how'd you get this house?"
And I'll go further. I don't believe that USC knew about it. I believe in that NCAA report that it says head coach didn't know, AD didn't know. It's happening 100 miles away or 150 miles away in San Diego. Why would anybody actually know that?
Right. Well, what's weird about this particular discussion is that we're actually both on the same side of the resolution.
Yes,
we
are.
We think that Reggie Bush should be reinstated. Jay Billis sent out a tweet yesterday. He said you should reinstate everybody. Reggie Bush, the Fab Five, anybody who you've screwed over the years. The NCAA makes rulings just because they can. The biggest joke, and I'm a UCLA guy, okay?
Yeah.
I went to UCLA. The biggest joke in NCAA in the last 40 years was putting USC football on probation when they knew the entire SEC was cheating.
Right.
They knew that Auburn and Alabama and LSU and all those schools were doing the exact same thing. And they threw the book at USC because Mike Garrett insulted them.
Was a jerk.
Right. Mike Garrett didn't cooperate with the NCAA investigation, said something like, those NCAA people all want to be Trojans. They're just, blah, blah, blah.
He didn't go in on bended knee the way other coaches do. He basically was defiant and did not accept anything the NCAA reported.
So they put him on a 2-year probation. When they never – and so, again, this is yet example 1,000 of the NCAA when presented with a decision, they get it wrong. So they should give Reggie Bush's Heisman back. They should reinstate the banners for the Fab Five in Michigan. And they should recognize that there's been an undercurrent of payment to college athletes, Mace, since the 1950s.
Sure.
And now what they're realizing is we're just going to put it on the table. And
so given that, shouldn't they reverse every decision from over the years that penalized players and schools?
Shouldn't USC have
its national championship
of
reinstated?
Of course they should. You and I were at the games.
Yeah, I mean, I saw them win it.
I saw Reggie Bush win the Heisman. I saw him be the best player in the country. If you in your NCAA minds want to decide, well, because his parents got a house in North San Diego County, we're taking away the Heisman. It makes no sense.
And isn't there a statute of limitations on stuff like
this? No, because they're the NCAA and they make the rules.
How long has it been? Has it been 20
2005.
Years? 2005.
Yeah,
so
16 years.
16 years. I mean, seriously, at some point, didn't USC put the number back up?
I don't know the answer to that.
I think they did. Isn't Reggie number 5?
Yeah.
Hey, I remembered a number. But I think they reinstated the number at some point. So he's like half back.
He's now welcome back at USC game.
And he did go and do the Fox pregame show from the Coliseum and I think led the Trojans out of the locker room for a game. So he's been there. He's been around it. It's normalized. I think it's time to let Reggie have his Heisman and to reverse that penalty and give USC its national championship. A house in North San Diego County, a $2,000 a month house, should not do everybody in for 16 years.
And wait a minute. Hold on. I may have breaking news.
Okay.
Nah, it's just the same old BS. The Heisman Trophy Trust says it's willing to return Reggie's Heisman if the NCAA reinstates his status. The NCAA hasn't gotten anything right since 1951. If you had a spine, Heisman Trust, you would say, we're a private entity, we award the Heisman, and Reggie's Heisman belongs in his house. Here, take it back.
Yeah, absolutely. A little nugget of news here before we get ready for Radio Tinder. The Hawks have officially listed Trae Young as questionable for Game 6.
That's actually an upgrade.
Eastern Conference Finals. And the Bucks have listed Giannis Antetokounmpo as doubtful for Game 6.
By the way, if those two injuries linger into the finals, I'm taking the Suns.
Oh, I love
that's how important those two guys are.
Chris Paul, I didn't get a chance to talk about, but how great is that for Chris Paul? What a phenomenal performance in that closeout game. And in the building where he spent a bunch of years, some of his
His legacy. Just like had it gone the other way, it would have defined his legacy. Now Chris Paul is cemented as one of the greats of all time, no matter what happens moving forward.
I hope he wins it all. I'd like that. I'd like that. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Linz is going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN. And you can follow Lindsay on Instagram at Lindsay Baseball. Linz, what do you got for us today?
Thanks, Mace. I like the fact that you're finally getting used to the idea of reading my Instagram out loud.
Completely buying in. I'm rooting for you to pass me.
Fantastic. Thank you. Well, my first story here is about rapper Tekashi 6ix9ine. Are you guys familiar with him?
No.
Okay, he's the crazy guy who has like the rainbow braided hair. He basically got famous off of a bunch of street raps, whatever you want to call them. And then he was involved in a gang and snitched on everybody to try and avoid jail time. Anyway, okay. He's out of jail now. He has a lot of money. And last month, his dad expressed his anger to some people that his rap star's son hasn't given him any money and that he's now living in a homeless shelter. Well, then earlier this week, Tekashi 6ix9ine explained in an interview his reasoning for not providing funds to his dad. He said, quote, "Everybody knows that my biological father abandoned me at birth. Right now, he's in a shelter smoking crack. The story of me not giving money to a crackhead who abandoned me at birth is getting more publicity than the positive things I've done." So, just curious, even though you guys don't know Tekashi 6ix9ine, I don't think you do for the question. If you were in the same situation, would you feel bad enough to give your homeless parent money if you were a millionaire? Swipe left or swipe right.
It sounds like this dad of his was never in his life, right? That he made money.
Correct.
Tekashi 6ix9ine made money, and then the dad just, you know, this happens a lot in the NBA.
Yeah. He kind of showed up.
Yeah, just kind of showed up. No, I would feel no, Mace, no obligation to help this guy out at all.
I mean, his dad is homeless?
Yes, living in a homeless shelter.
I think my heartstring, even though the guy was never in my life, it's still
helping a homeless guy. He abandoned you at birth.
It's still helping a homeless guy. I mean, I don't want to see anybody homeless. If I can fix up somebody's life a little bit, even if it's a dad that was never in my life, I think I probably would. I think.
All right, Lindsay, break the tie. I'm a no. Mason's a yes. What say you?
I think, depending on the situation, but in this particular situation, knowing that the dad was gone the whole life, and he didn't crawl out of the woodwork until he heard his son was a famous millionaire rapper, I would not help him.
Right.
I have
you
too much
not.
Spite. I have too much spite in me.
Forgiveness makes you whole, Linz.
Well, apparently, Mace, you can make this guy whole because Lindsay and I have given him a dime.
I feel like some things you can't forgive, and considering how critical like parents are to their kids and their life and their upbringing, I'd be like, screw you.
All right, what's next?
Well, speaking of screw you, this is the from the famous Am I the A-Hole subreddit. I like doing this actually on Fridays. Okay,
love
so the
these.
Poster writes, "I recently attended a wedding where one woman and her spouse brought their 6 kids. Additionally, there were countless other children. The kids ran, played tag, and generally acted like it was a game to see who could take the most food from the appetizer table. There was a cash bar there as well, and I did not think alcohol in the mix was going to improve the situation, so I left early. And I am the parent of one of the people being married. Was I wrong to leave early and ignore the hordes of children running through the dance floor and dashing under the tables? I did not know all the people to ask them to control their children, but I also did not feel like it was my place. Is she the a-hole? Swipe left or swipe right?"
I don't think so, unless she had a role. Like, if you had still had something to do, then I think Mace leaving early is not only going to get noticed, but you're kind of stiffing your child who's getting married.
Yeah.
But if your role is completed, nobody ever notices if you leave early or late at a wedding.
You know what? I'll make a confession. I mean, I just went to Lindsay Theory's wedding in Santa
Barbara.
First
one to leave.
I ghosted the place.
Yeah.
I mean, I had a good time. I stayed through dinner. I made sure to talk to Lindsay and her boyfriend.
Then your box of obligation is checked.
Correct. I'm like, all right, I've done everything I needed to do. I had a really good time. We drank a lot. We caught up with a bunch of people. But no, I don't mind ghosting a wedding. She's not paying attention. She doesn't know if I'm there or not.
They like to call that an Irish goodbye, right?
Heck yeah.
An Irish goodbye. Same thing. Yeah. Yes.
Well, wait, now that you guys are bringing this up, can I just throw in a real quick little impromptu Radio Tinder question?
Yeah. Sure.
So my brother's getting married Labor Day weekend, right? And his fiance, I'm in the wedding. Me and both my sisters in the wedding, and she had us all get these ridiculously ugly bridesmaid dresses, right?
Yeah, but that's true at every wedding, isn't it?
That's fine. Okay. Yes,
standard
totally.
Issue. Yeah.
Right. Totally, totally understand.
And despite that, Lindsay, someone will say, the great thing about these dresses is you can wear them again, and no one ever will.
No, but I will never wear this dress again.
And neither will anyone else.
I was telling my sisters, I feel super uncomfortable in this dress. It does not look good on me. It's hideous. But like the main thing is like I don't feel like comfortable and I don't feel like I look good in it.
Right.
Yeah. So I wanted to bring one of my dresses. And once we get to the reception and we're done with the dinner and the toasts and all that crap, and then everyone's drinking and having a good time, I want to change into one of my dresses. Do you think I would be rude if I asked her if that's okay?
Yeah, no, don't do
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's totally fine, Lynch. I think it's totally fine.
No. In fact, you will insult her to no end. You can't do it.
No, she knows it's ugly, right? In the end,
the bride knows it's an ugly dress. Okay, well, here's the thing, Mace.
It's not even
there's
the fact
a
that
reason
it's ugly.
It's
it doesn't
ugly.
Look good on me. The thing is, I was going to tell her, like, because Oliver, she's a swimmer, and like her and all of her friends are like super tall and skinny. I am not super tall and skinny. I am short and curvy, and
doesn't
I do
matter.
Not
you
gotta look.
You got to take one for the team.
So you don't think if I tell her like I like the dress and everything, but like I think that I might be a little bit more comfortable in something of mine.
Yes,
would you mind if I change after dinner?
If I'm her, this is how I interpret that. There's one day in my entire life where it's all about me, where I'm in the best dress, I look the best, and my bridesmaids are all cooperating, except for my husband's sister. Who thinks the dress is ugly and thinks it's more important that she looks good. I'm telling you, she will hold it against you forever.
But it's not even looks good. It feels more comfortable.
Doesn't matter.
It looks bad on me. She's
guys,
gonna,
the
she's
reason.
She's going to look back on those pictures and be like, ooh, yeah, I shouldn't have done that to her.
We should take calls on this. The reason that those dresses are ugly, Lindsay, is that she wants to shine. I'm telling you.
But she doesn't need to make me look ugly for her to shine.
Yes, she does.
She's a very gorgeous woman.
Yes, she does. I know you don't think that, but she for example, at my wedding, someone wore an off-white dress, an ivory dress.
I wouldn't do that.
Lisa still holds it against that.
Bad form. Bad form.
So wait. What if I even asked my brother if he thinks it would be okay for me to ask her?
No, he's going to tell you, he's going to say, don't do it.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's totally fine to ask, Linz. They may.
No, they're holding against you for asking. Just take one for the team. It's one night in an ugly dress. It's not your wedding day.
But the thing is, I want to take pictures too. That like I want to look back. It's my brother. Like she's not even my family member. It's my
brother. You will look back and take pictures in your bridesmaid's dress. Whether you, by the way, Linz, they're gonna take 100 pictures of you in that bridesmaid's dress. Anyway.
Yeah, I know. But I also want to have my own pictures where I can show people like, oh, this is me at my brother's wedding.
Not your day,
right? No, Linz. Here's the thing. All you got to do is say, because everybody wants people to dance and have fun at the wedding. Just say, I don't think I can dance in this dress. Do you mind
that's
if I
switch
into
another dress?
That's
what I was thinking. It's a little bit more comfortable
for
dancing and stuff.
Weigh in on this. Which one of us is right?
You are, John. You're the right
Lindsay.
One. Lindsay, you gotta stick with it, man.
You can't cross a bride on her wedding day. Haven't you
both
ever seen?
Both of my sisters said different answers. One sister said, yes, it's fine. The other
but are either
said,
one of your
no.
sisters advocating changing?
They're not.
Are they going to change?
No.
So why are you more important than them?
I'm not. They're just
you're
not
acting
as unhappy.
Like it.
No, no, they're just not as unhappy with how they look in their dresses.
Yeah. Oh, Linz, I say go for it. I say have the conversation without questions.
Okay, 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. How should Lindsay resolve her dilemma? I'm telling you, I've been to enough weddings to know if she changes out of that bridesmaid's dress, it's going to be a thing. 877-710-ESPN.
I feel like if I start by asking my brother, is it okay if I ask her this?
Because
my brother's not going to be like, no, don't ask. I feel like if he thought it would offend her, he would tell me, and then I wouldn't ask. But he's my brother. Yeah. He's the one that really matters, right?
I mean, I've never gone through. I've never been in a wedding. I've been yeah. in weddings.
Thank
right?
God,
but
you're
I always
lucky.
Wear a tux.
Yeah, well, you're lucky. This whole dress thing is a disaster. It's so annoying.
I never had a wedding, right? We never had a wedding. But I think that if you want to dance all night, and a lot of brides want everybody to have fun and party and all that stuff. If you can't party and have fun in that dress, I think you should change into another.
Wait a minute, just
hide
do what everyone else does. Get hammered.
That's it, and forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be a thing. All right.
Do we have time for one more, Jorge?
Yeah, quickly.
Okay, so real quick. A dad has been forced to sell up the family car after a son racked up an $1,800 bill in 1 hour of playing a mobile game. 7-year-old Ashaz Mutasa purchased a number of expensive top-ups while he was playing a game called Dragons Rise of the Berk, and his dad didn't find out until it was too late. The dad only realized what happened when he discovered the 29 email receipts waiting for him. Now, he has to sell his family's Toyota in order to pay off the bill. He said he complained to Apple, but they agreed to refund him only $287. Apple said they couldn't comment on specific cases, but added that they take all such incidents very seriously and advise parents to take precautions when letting their kids play games on mobile devices. Do you agree with Apple's decision not to refund him? And do you know anyone this has happened to?
My son did it once. It wasn't that much money, but he charged like $100 and stuff. And it was a teachable moment. But here's the thing. What's the name of that game?
It is called Dragons Rise of Berk.
Okay, Dragons Rise. The creators of that game should come out and say, look, we understand that kids love our game and we're going to relieve the debt, because that game would instantly get made. Think of the publicity that game would get if they did this.
Sure.
This is a golden market opportunity for that game. They should relieve the debt.
When I went to Torino for the Olympics, I had just met Juan. And I didn't buy a phone plan. I didn't buy, the...
Oh, so you made a bunch of calls on your, without having roaming and you
We were on
paid.
The phone for hours. And the bill came in when I got home, over $5,000 in telephone charges.
Wow.
So I went to AT&T and I said, look, I had no idea this was happening. Can we do anything about this? They negotiated it down. I don't know why they wouldn't negotiate down with this guy. Say, hey, we'll meet you halfway. That's what AT&T did. I think I ended up paying $2,000 of the $5,000. But normally there's some flexibility there where you can negotiate down a little bit. That's what I would try to
do.
But, John, you're right. If they gave him the refund and that became a big story,
it would every talk show, every TV newscast, it would go so viral they would reap the rewards for 10 years.
Yep.
All right, by the way. The dress thing has just blown up. Every line is full. I just got this text from the great Mark Cates, our top sales guy.
Yes.
Been married 24 years. If there is a category that is more than 100% right, that's what John is. You gotta wear the dress, Lindsay. Sorry. I am telling you guys are on the wrong side of this, and I'm gonna prove it next.
Okay. All right. We'll do that coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.